episode of the Double Comma Club with your host, Nicole Ruth of the Ruth Team, the number one lending team in Colorado.
Dr. Bruce Lund, I'm going to let you take over.
Well, let's jump right into the four-hour workday, and I'll just spend, 45 minutes. I have a heart of a teacher approach when it comes to teaching, so I want to do about 45 minutes, and then obviously open it up for Q&A. I love Q&A. As a former professor and a PhD in human performance, I love the back and forth of being able to have those conversations. So I want to share with you this four-hour workday concept that I created. I basically created this concept about 2 years into my own business. And the reason I created that, talking about Colorado, is, my first year of business, I show up and I'm like, hey, I have this amazing 90-day sales manager program, and the market doesn't care, right? The market really doesn't care that you're there with this new thing. You have to go out there and earn the respect of the market. And so I was going to happy hours. I mean, I'm literally one of those people, I need to go out to events constantly, which has been an issue for me like during COVID. But my first year of business, right, I'm going out to happy hours like literally every single night. And I thought I was moving to Colorado to like get in the best shape of my life, right? I'm going to go hiking and I'm going to get in the best shape. And then I'm drinking all these IPAs. And all those IPAs for me personally go straight to my face and my stomach, right? And so what I started thinking about, I'm like, the four-hour workday, there's certain parts of your business, all things feed all things. I believe in intentional congruence. And the first thing that a lot of us let go when we first start in our business is our personal health. And our personal health is probably the most important thing to all of this, right? It affects our energy and our confidence and all these parts of it. So I'm going to break down really the four quadrants that I believe all of you are probably already doing, but maybe you're not doing it intentionally. When I get on here and I get to speak with the top one percenters or the top one percenters like the Nicoles of the world, they're already doing a lot of these things. It's just, we're going to put like a science to it to where you're like, okay, now I know why I'm doing that. And now I'm going to be more intentional with how I do that, right? So a lot of you are already doing a lot of these little things. Maybe some of you aren't though. And you're like, man, I know I need to be doing this. I need to be doing this. Tony Robbins talks about the 2.2 millimeters of change. I don't know if you've ever heard of this expression or not, Nicole. The 2.2 millimeters of change is just this. No great plastic surgeon will ever make more than 2.2 millimeters of change on somebody, and they'll never make more than 7 changes. All right. So I just want to kind of provide some of these little tips and tricks that can really make a huge difference. The content that I'm going to go through, I created this quick read book. A quick read book is really, if you have the download for today's presentation, everything that I'm going to go through today, you have a QR code that you can go back through and watch the video. Okay. So I know I'm going to have a lot of content. I'm a fast talker, high energy. So you can come back through, and whether it's just looking at it inside of your own workbook or coming back to this, right? Because less than 1% of a person actually reads a book a year in today's world. The only way that I got through a PhD is through the Cliff Notes. Okay. It's by just taking the most important concepts and really internalizing those. So that's what I've really done for all of you, is I've studied all of these top producers. I've coached all these top producers. I've studied all these big time philosophers and disciples in the personal development area. And I've really boiled it down to these areas within the 4-hour workday, tied to your personal development, your professional development, your marketing development, and then your database slash operations development. And this concept, like I said, it truly has changed my own life. And it's fun for me because I get to see it change other people's lives in the process. So let me just jump right into the first part of the first time block of the 4-hour workday. Okay. So when I break down this 4 hours, it's basically a 90-minute time block, followed by a 30-minute time block, followed by a 90-minute time block, followed by a 30-minute time block, okay? And there's a reason for that. Just like Nicole is going through the stats and the science, there's a science behind the 90-30 time block system, all right? And so I've truly adopted that into my own life to where, if you do anything, like a lot of us get antsy in the first 10 minutes and then we try to find a distraction, right? Like, Nicole, your Facebook being shut down, you're going to see your productivity level is going to go through the roof, right? Because that's one of the biggest distractions that we all have, is we'll start working on something and then we want to immediately pick up our phone. We pick up our phone and touch it like hundreds of times throughout every single day. All right. So 90-30 is just, I'm going to be locked and loaded during these 90 minutes, just focused on this activity. And then I'm going to move on to this activity. And then I'm going to go check my fires, because I know a lot of you are firefighting, right? And I know that's not realistic for you just to say, I'm not going to look at my email or my phone or this or that in the process. So the very first 90 minutes that I focus on every single day and that we coach you to focus on is tied to you. I'm a big Stephen Covey disciple. I believe in the whole person theory. We're all made up of a mind, a body, and a heart, and a spirit. And the body's need is to live. The mind's need is to learn. The heart's need is to love or to be loved. And the spirit's need is to leave a legacy. And so that's truly my 50, 30, 10, 30 time block system. 90 minutes on my body, my mind, and my heart. And then 30 minutes on my spirit. So that's what I'm going to break down right here with you all. I'm a big proponent or an advocate of taking care of your body first thing, right? Have you ever heard of the concept eat the frog? Eat the frog is basically, you know, do the one thing that you really don't want to do first thing in the morning. So for a lot of us, that is working out. And so I'm just a big believer, like I will sleep in my workout clothes. I'll have my shoes laid out next to my bed. My alarm clock goes off. I get up, I make my little pre-workout drink that I can drink in 5 minutes. I put my shoes on, I stretch, I go down, like I stay in the hotels basically now. I go down to my hotel gym. Nobody's in there at 5:30 a.m. So I know it's just going to be me, which is great. And I can knock out my workout in, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. So that is the very first thing that I personally do. All right. Now, for some of you, you might want to go work out at a gym. Maybe you don't have a home gym. I'm just big on, like I said, being super productive. And I just know if I got to go get my car and drive across town to go to a gym, right, the probability starts to lower that I'm going to feel like doing that in the process. I'm not saying not to do that, because a lot of you, I talk about multipliers a lot in your business. A multiplier is if you're going to go do that, then you had better be making relationships within that community, right? Within that gym. If you want to look at this as part of your business plan, right? And you say, you know what? I'm going to work out. I'm going to go work out at insert gym here, Orange Theory Fitness, or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's not only because it's health benefit, but also I do want to make partnerships and relationships at that gym. Otherwise, if you're just treating this as truly, I just want to feel good and all that kind of stuff, then I would strongly encourage you to have some kind of fitness, like little workout area inside your home. And during COVID, this is what I learned is, you know, I hired a personal trainer that just literally gives me workouts 45 minutes a day that I could do from home. And it's going to eliminate a lot of distractions, or should I say a lot of excuses, right? My definition of an excuse is a self-proclaimed opt-out clause. And we give ourselves a lot of self-proclaimed opt-out clauses to not do the things that we know we should be doing, okay, within the process. So 50 minutes should be spent on your PQ, your physical quotient, every single day, in my opinion, Monday through Friday, okay? So I have a whole system. Nicole, I don't have a problem even sharing that with everyone, the same workouts that I do. I mean, it's definitely a little, it's like a cross between like CrossFit. I mean, it's pretty intensive, but you can do them from home. Saturdays for me, I want to give you permission then on Saturdays, go do the things that you enjoy with the people who matter. So if you enjoy hiking, go do that with your advocates. If you enjoy playing tennis, if you enjoy yoga, if you enjoy, you know, whatever it might be, if you enjoy drinking, okay. Like I'm not even saying it has to be physical activity. So for me, if I do this on Monday through Friday, then on Saturday, I've earned the right to go do the things that I really enjoy with the people that I enjoy from an active standpoint. And then I treat my Sundays as rejuvenation. So I'll do my stretch, my yoga, my meal prep, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of you are like, this has nothing to do with sales, but it does. All parts of our lives feed all parts of our lives. And I've been fortunate, you know, like all my roommates in college, they're all exercise science PhDs. And so I've kind of worked through them on this exact blueprint and why this works. When I'm going through this 4-hour workday, I'm not really just like having you guys work through the plan. I'm just giving you the plan that I know that works for top producers all over the world in this process. Okay. Now, one of the other exercises that I like to do in the afternoons or at lunch, this is so that I don't overeat. Or some of you might do the mini fasting, right, where you only eat during certain hours. So for me, it's easy for me to overeat at lunch. And when I overeat, what tends to happen then from my productivity standpoint? I get tired, right? We all hit that like early afternoon lull. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll eat kind of light in the afternoon or at lunch, and then I'll go for a walk. And I do what I call walk and talks. So my walk and talks are just what? I'll just call my favorite people. And I get to get outside the house or outside the office or outside the hotel for me and just go walk and just talk to people that already know me, like me, trust me, right? Calling out my biggest people out there. So again, that's a multiplier because you're getting active, you're going out there, you're keeping energy, all that kind of stuff in the process. That's what I do for my physical quotient every single week, Monday through Friday, intensive, same time in the morning. Early afternoons, I'll go for a walk. I'll stay energized in the process. Saturdays, which I love. Saturdays, go do the things that you enjoy with the people who matter the most. And then Sundays, rejuvenate. So that's what I spend 50 minutes on. And when I say every single day, I mean, I'm saying pretty much every single day, you know, 80% of the time, right? Because like I said, I'm giving my Monday, Friday is like the intensive part. Saturdays is more of the what do I want to go do for fun part, whether that's active or just hanging out socially. And then Sundays is rejuvenation, okay, in the process. So that's the mindset that I have. Now, speaking of mindset, part number two of our time block system that gets into your personal development for the mind. The mind's need is to learn. So what I have learned over the process, again, of studying and coaching top people all over the world is a lot of people in today's world, they're not intentional with their learning. What do I mean by that? A lot of people will listen to a podcast or listen to a webinar, right? Like just like this, between Nicole's information and my information, we have 2 hours of content. There is no possible way that you're going to be able to go implement all these different things, right? So it is kind of goes back into Gary Keller's one thing. So what's the one thing from Nicole's presentation that I can take right now and immediately go implement with my buyers within the process? You know, I was fascinated by that invest 10,000 to get 200,000 for the crypto. And I'm like, I missed that boat as well, Nicole. So like just taking that knowledge and saying, okay, how do I really go apply that now? Right? Because I see so many people, it's like, what's the podcast that you recommend? It's like, it's kind of like a CRM, like anyone that you're going to use, anyone that you're actually going to go implement and learn from and the process. So as part of this 4-hour workday, I would say spend 10 minutes of just listening to content and then 10 to 15 minutes actually mapping out how you're going to implement that content and then take it a step further. Again, as a multiplier activity is sharing that with other people, right? So sharing like, hey, I just heard this podcast and made me think about you. It was talking about this, and this. I really think this would work well for you and your business or your current life. Okay, right? I know a lot of our realtors, you guys more go after the consumers. So just kind of sharing some of that data and some of the information. When I get on this webinar with Nicole is a person of influence. There is a big, big difference between a person of interest and a person of influence. A person of interest, it's self-absorbing. It's all about their ego. And no offense to my real estate agents out there. There isn't a lot of ego in real estate agents, okay? Where it's all look at me, right? It's my house and my car and this and my buyers and my sellers. I don't have a problem saying this because I coach you guys all day, every day, okay? A person of influence isn't all about like, look at me, look at how much money I have, look at my house, look at my car. It's all about influencing other people, right? And so how do you do that then? Apply knowledge as power. All this information that you're spending time learning, share that with other people, right? They're looking for this information from somewhere. They're going to find this information from somewhere. It might as well be from you as a person of influence to your database and inside of your community, okay? So this is one of the biggest differentiators that I see are people who are consistently getting better in their knowledge. They're consistently sharpening their saw in their knowledge. And then they go out there and they share that information with their database of people. So that's the second time block system tied to your personal development, which is just all taking care of your mind, right? The mind's need is to learn. And I would say this should be sharpened every single day for 10 to 30 minutes, 10 minutes of content that you're listening to. That way, because content creation is a beast. When Nicole gets on here every month to give you this content, it's not like she just puts this together and it takes 20 minutes. Content creation is an absolute beast to get on here and to share this information, right? So that's what's going to differentiate you and your database of people. If you are a person of influence versus a person of interest, which is I'm on this private jet, I'm flying here, I'm flying there. Like, don't be that person, okay? Do not be that person. Be a person of influence to your database within the process, all right? The third part of a personal time block system. And stay with me because I'm gonna go through our entire 90-day selling system that helped me grow my database over 1,000 people, okay? So I'm spending a lot of time right now just on taking care of your own personal self because you are your greatest asset. But I am going to go through really the selling system and the marketing system that will help you go out there and increase all different things that are parts of your business. Okay.
And that's a good place for a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Your home purchase has a long-term impact on your ability to build financial wealth. We at The Ruth Team will continue to be alongside you well beyond the closing date. Whether helping to refinance a loan, transitioning to your next home, or building multi-generational wealth through investments, we are committed to finding you solutions other lenders can't or simply won't. We look forward to helping you build wealth through real estate by generating passive income for a more financially secure future. Get started today by visiting theroofteam.com. That's theruetheam.com. Your resource for helping you build wealth through real estate.
And let's continue the conversation.
So the third part of this gets into the heart. The heart's need is to love or to be loved, okay? The heart is the EQ, emotional quotient. Emotional intelligence is the number one indicator of success, right? So a lot of us think like we do these IQ tests and we want to be smart. EQ is the number one indicator of success, which is really just understanding my own emotions and understanding other people's emotions. And whenever I talk emotions, you guys more than anybody in real estate understand this, the importance of emotions. Buying and selling real estate is one of the most emotional things that people do. So you have to control not only your own emotions as the agent or as the lender, but also the emotions of your people, of your clients in the process. So that's why it's so big every single day. You have to protect your own confidence, right? You have to protect your own mindset. It can be very easy to get stressful and overwhelmed and all these different emotions if we allow it. So practicing gratitude. I know you've all heard of the importance of practicing gratitude, okay? I can't talk about the four-hour workday and not have a piece of this day built out for 10 minutes talking about gratitude, all right? So whether that's practicing self-gratitude or whether that's loving on other people. Inside of my little 90-day sales planner right here, I have a section at the top where every single day I write down what am I grateful for. Sometimes that stays the same. Sometimes it changes. Sometimes it stays the same. But I'm consistently every single day writing that in there. Because a lot of you, especially my real estate agent friends, man, you guys go through a roller coaster of emotions. Whether it's where's my next buyer coming from? You know, Nicole, I heard a stat yesterday actually talking to one of my clients. There are currently 1.4 million real estate agents in the US. And there are 1.2 million listings. I mean, that is insane when you really, really think about that. There are, for the first time ever, I would say ever, but it might be for the first time though, there's more listings than there are real estate agents. There's going to be times where you don't, Nicole said, like you don't feel like doing it, or you start to question. When I hear like this 23-year-old kid has $10,000 to invest, he makes $200,000, and I'm over here just grinding for a year. You're like, you know what I mean? It can be very deflating if you look at things that way. So don't play that if game. The only if game that I play is it's not a matter of if I'm going to be successful. It's a matter of when. It's not a matter of if I'm going to be successful. It's a matter of when. And so that really is why I practice the daily gratitude, not only to love on other people, but to make sure my own emotions are in check every single day in the process. Okay. So that's the third part of our personal development system. And then the fourth part. So this now gets into really that 30-minute time block, right? So 50 minutes is on your body, 30 minutes is on your mind, 10 minutes is on your heart. And then we transition into another 30 minutes then gets into the spiritual quotient. Now, I'm not going to get into, you know, religion, all that kind of stuff. So I treat the spirit for me as my database, as my legacy. So my database of people, the Nicoles of the world, the Carls of the world, right? I get to pick and choose who I allow into my life and into my relationships and into my partnerships. A lot of people don't create or treat their database that way, right? They let anybody with a pulse and a pocketbook into it. And now they don't have a filter of the people they want to do business with. And now they're attracting high maintenance people who commoditize you. And that's never going to be fun, right? And that's going to zap the energy for you. So I spend 30 minutes a day just making sure that my database is updated. And this is one of the biggest pieces of advice that I hear from top producers is just, you know, when I ask them, what advice would you give to somebody that was maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years in their business? I wish I would have, every contact that came to my life, I wish I would have scrubbed that data and either decided if that person needs to go into my CRM or not. And I know this is super hard because most salespeople don't, like if you ever study the DISC profile, high D's, high I's, dominant personalities who want to be liked, that's typically 90% of salespeople, which means what? We don't like doing data entry. We don't want to slow down and fill in all this information, but it's so important to the long-term sustainable growth of your business and the process. So I built in, this used to be a 10-minute time block. And then I just realized it needs to be longer. If you're actually going out there and talking to different people and having these conversations, you know, so for 30 minutes a day, I will carve out time where I just make sure that every person that I talk to or is inside of my database in the correct places. Okay. If you have some kind of CRM that does that, where it's tied to your phone, then that's fine. But I would still go back through and make sure that everything is updated to where it needs to be in the process. So every single day I scrub my database and making sure that it's updated the way that it should be. right? Making sure that people are using the correct tags. And I'm going to show you here in a second what tags are tied to the selling system. So I went a little bit longer on this, but I just think it's super important for you to take care of your own self for the first 90 minutes every single day in the process. So hopefully a lot of you are already doing this. If you're not doing hardly any of this, right? So if you rated yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being the best, 1 being the lowest, and talking about taking care of your body, your mind, and your heart, right? If you're currently a 4 taking care of your body, you're currently, let's say you're a 1, you're not going to all of a sudden just come out of the gates and go work out for 50 minutes every single day for 7 days a week. Are you with me there? Like, that's not going to happen. So start small in the process and just say, out of all these things that Dr. Bruce has covered, whether it's my physical quotient, whether it's my intellectual quotient, whether it's my spiritual quotient, right? Whether it's my my intellectual quotient, like, which areas are most important for you, right? And then start implementing that. Start building in that time block. And, you know, just talking about time block, Nicole, I used to hate time block. And the reason I hated it is the reason I became an entrepreneur in the first place is I didn't want people telling me what I had to go do, when I had to go do it, right? Like, a lot of people, like, we like to have that autonomy. But what you learn is time blocking actually will create the autonomy for you that will allow you to go do a lot more of the things that you really, really enjoy with the people who matter the most in the process. So that's why this time block system is so important in the process. Nicole, I know that you are like 3 a.m. or getting up. You know, what is your morning routine? Just share a side or a, like, I love the VH1 story behind the story. So share like the Nicole Ruth VH1 behind the story of your morning routine when it comes to taking care of yourself.
I love everything you said. And shockingly, I do a lot of it. So, you know, I get up at 3:30 and I'll speed through this, but it's the very first thing I do after my coffee, because I'm usually a good 3 cups of coffee morning. After my cup of coffee, 3:30 in the morning, sit down, read from my Bible, and I journal. And then I structure my day. I figure out what are all the tasks and the calendar events. So I start with the calendar events, which then leads to what are the tasks I have to do to get in front of those calendar events. The journaling and the meditation kind of goes together. Sometimes it's really quick because I'm not in the mood. Sometimes it's longer because I need to settle myself. And then I get into that. And then I get on email. And my team knows this. They're like, we started receiving emails from you at 3 o'clock this morning. I was like, yeah, I know, I couldn't sleep. So then I delegate everything. So then I can come back and recenter myself. Then I go to the gym for an hour every day, 7 days a week, have to do it. And then I come back and then I'm actually getting to my work. It's a very formal, if I don't do it, I'm off.
Again, like, you're doing a lot of the things, if not all of the things that we just went through, right? And it probably took you a long time to figure that out or to get in that rhythm, that routine in the process. And just like you said, you know, the days when you didn't do it and you, like, right. You can just tell your whole day is kind of like, it's just not working the way that it could be working or should be working. Another important thing here, Nicole, that you just mentioned that I think is very important for all our real estate friends, because I understand that a lot of you are solopreneurs, right? What does it mean to be a solopreneur? It falls solely on you to do all of your business, right? Your marketing and your operations and taking care of yourself and your sales. And right, there's a lot that goes into running a successful business, you know? So setting up your calendar this way, and eventually what we want to have happen is where you create all this incoming demand for your services to where you're forced to hire a transaction coordinator, or you're forced to go hire and build out your team. But it first starts by getting the structures and the systems in place consistently before now you can go delegate all those different kinds of things. So if you forever are just flying by the seat of your pants, you're never going to be able to really grow your business, scale your business out the way that you intend or the way that you really want. Okay. So Nicole, thank you for sharing. We're going to get into the second time block, which is probably what has put me on the map, which is my proactive prospecting system. You know, 90%, 95% of salespeople don't have a consistent selling system. All right. 65% of salespeople don't even have a CRM or use a CRM in the process. So this is the same selling system, luckily, that I had coming into Denver when I moved, not knowing anybody. All I had was this. I had this selling system. And I had a lot of energy, right, in the process. So and I knew what really differentiated me and my services over other folks. This is the 50-30-10 time block system. And this is just a guide. I always make it's like a bad analogy, but like, I'm Yoda, you're Luke Skywalker. Okay. I'm the guide, you're the hero. So I'm just giving you a guide that you could follow. This is assuming that most of your business is built on you going and developing new relationships. All right. If you already have a strong database of people, then maybe you flip-flop some of these time block systems. Does that make sense? Like, you might not spend 50 minutes on new business every single day. You might spend 50 minutes on your past clients every single day, just depending on the scope and the scale of your database. But, you know, I typically teach this 50-30-10 based on people who they don't really have a strong database yet. Okay. So again, if you already have a database, flip-flop them. So this is the selling system. The reason I love my selling system over all the other selling systems that are out there is every category is a mindset. I don't really like ranking my clients. Okay. I get the point of it. Like, how many clients are sending you business? Rank them on an A, B, C, D list, hot list, warm list, all that kind of stuff. I just believe in consistency with engaging with my active database of people. And I also believe that this will help you, especially, like I said, the younger, newer folks that are out there, with your confidence. Confidence is the one thing that affects everything in sales and in business. When we have confidence on our side, we think we're a lot better than we are. When we don't have it, we think we're a lot worse than we actually are, right? Momentum is a great exaggerator. And so our selling system, it teaches you a mindset for these different categories of people that you really should be going out and talking to. So my help list is simply that, help list. I think I can help you. I don't know, right? So all of you should have a very specific niche of a target market and a segment, okay? That's a whole different other presentation if you don't have that. So I'm just saying, like, you should all really know who you're trying to go out there and attract and target through your marketing and through your message, okay? Once you have that figured out, now the question is, how many of those people do you need to have coming in new every single week or every single month for you to hit your key performance indicators? So for me and my business, I need 10 new people every single week that comes into my life that either raises their hand or I have to self-identify as somebody that I can help, right? So for some of you, that sounds like way too many. So pick your number based on the number of appointments you need to have and the number of business that you want to go out there and create. But helpless for you, like I said, if you're brand new, you probably don't have that much incoming demand. What is incoming demand? Nicole, you have a lot of incoming demand, right? Especially during this crazy world that we live in right now when interest rates are 2.99, okay? So you have all these people who, and you've taken what, 30, 40 years? How many, like, try to do the math, 20 years?
Of how long I've been
your age earlier. So you built a database for how many years now?
I've been in this business for 20 years, but I've been originating for about 11.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's just say 11 years. You've spent 11 years building up your own database.
Right.
Right. So at this point in your career, as long as you're good at what you do, which you are, then you have incoming demand for your services. You don't necessarily need to have 10 new people to target every single week. You already have that coming in every single week because of your marketing and your database and your messaging and all those kinds of things, right? But for some people, let's say there was a brand new lender that was on here, they're not at your level yet. So they might need to have, all right, who are the 10 real estate agents that I'm targeting? Or who are the 10 consumers that I'm targeting? So all of this is to say, we're all at different places in our careers, but we need to figure out how many people on our help list do we need to have? Whether I have incoming demand through my own personal brand and my message, or that I need to target proactively. But that is the mindset that I love. I've never cold called anybody. So just to let everyone know, like, how do I move from Nashville to Denver and launch my business, grow 1,000 people, is I've never cold called anybody. And how do I do that then? I just figured out ways to be more attractive to the market and put on events and attend events and host webinars and things like that. Same thing for you and your business. So that's the mindset for your help list, is I think I can help everybody in the world, but let's have a conversation and really figure out if you fit my filter. I want all of you to be the buyer versus the seller, where you get to pick and choose who you do business with. Then you have that first conversation. What happens from there? They fit your filter. They're going to use somebody. They're a motivated buyer. Now they go into your fight club. Now you're just consistently fighting to earn the business within the process. So the sales funnel for everybody, this isn't different. This isn't unique to a loan officer or a real estate agent or a title producer or an insurance agent. At the end of the day, everybody's business really is the same on paper. Is you either have a new target, a suspect, or a lead, okay? You set the appointment with them, you conduct the appointment with them, you show them your value, you ask for the business, right? If it's not closed right away, you follow up with value to stay in front of them. Hopefully at some point they convert over to a new client, and then you onboard them so that they become a promoter or an advocate. That's what I've really identified, is everybody's business is the same, but it's the mindset when you start organizing your database. And you start setting these benchmarks. So I want to have 10 helpless people every single week and I have 15 people in my fight club. My fight club, maybe my favorite concept, is I'm fighting to earn the business. I want everyone to write this down. There's three things to look at. Number one, are you really good at what you do? Yes or no? Hope the answer is yes. Are they going to use somebody? The answer is yes. Are they the motivated buyer? The answer is yes. If they fit that filter, then it's your duty as a sales professional to fight to earn the business. And a lot of people, this is where a lot of people get nervous and scared, is the fight club follow-up. The fight club follow-up just simply means they're going to use somebody. You're really good at what you do. It might as well be you. Like, that's it, right? So now you have a database of people that fit that fight club that are maybe 3 to 6 months out from buying a house or selling their house, right? So now you're consistently fighting to earn that business, assuming that they're not under contract within the process. So that's my first time block system where I spend just 50 minutes on my new business. Okay.
Bruce, I have a question for you. Yeah. Somebody asks, is there a process to figure out or identify the filter questions specifically that you should ask? I mean, I know you just asked like three questions and they were pretty general, but is there a way that they can design what those questions should be?
Yeah. I think a big part of it, again, it goes back into who's your ideal client. Like, so for a lot of you, like writing down traits or characteristics of your favorite clients that you've served. Okay. Now, again, if you're brand new, this is where it's like, you're just throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and having it stick. And you start to realize that, but I do think a lot of it, like my filter, just talking about mine, are you hungry? Are you humble? Are you coachable? And are you enlightened? If you don't fit those four things, then I can't help you. All right. So even just sitting down and every first conversation, I share that with somebody. Right. I have a very clear filter of the exact type of people I want to do business with. This goes back into, Nicole, you're at this level where you have confidence in not commoditizing yourself. There's a really, really good book called The Challenger Sale that I recommend all of you go buy. The Challenger Sale just says this: are you really good at what you do? Are you a teacher? Are you an educator? A lot of us think the relationship builders are king in sales. And that's not the case. It's actually the challenger is the number one trait, because they're not afraid to challenge people. They're not afraid to call on people. They're not afraid to teach people, right? You guys are the experts at the end of the day. I know there's all this information that the consumer can go find and get, but Nicole said earlier, you can typically tell if you have a high maintenance customer that already knows it all, and they're going to be a nightmare for you 90% of the time. Now, some of you are at the point where you can't turn that business away. I understand that, but it takes only 3 or 4 or 5 of those clients for you to say, I don't want to have those clients. I want to have this type of client, right? It might be the first time home buyer that is so grateful for you to help them get into the home, right? It might be an investor. It might be, I'll share a story with my friend. She's the number one producer in all of Tennessee the last 3 years. And she had a big investor client. We're recording this, but so I got to be kind of careful what I say. But essentially, this one big client that she had, it was eating up a lot of her energy. It just became not a good partnership. And so they parted their ways. And now maybe she's not the number one real estate agent in all of Tennessee, but she's pretty close to those same numbers still, because she could take that same time, that energy, and do what? Go find other people who fit that filter, right? And that's when business becomes fun. Nicole, would you agree? Like, when you get to really work with those people, like whether you call it your tribe, you call it whatever you want to call it, right? When you can go find those people now and consistently get to work with them, that's when your business becomes fun, right? But early on, like, you're trying to figure out that filter. So that's a great question.
I'm going to stop you there again. Sorry. You have 2 more questions. Yep. Hungry, humble, teachable. What was the fourth quality?
Enlightened.
Enlightened.
Enlightened, okay. Simply in my verbiage, is they know why they're doing what they're doing. Now, again, like for my mess, I coach people, right? So if Nicole as a sales manager says, hey, I want you to coach my team, and this one person in particular is uncoachable, but I want you to go coach them, and I have to go convince that person like why they need coaching, like that's enlightened to me, is you know why you're doing what you're doing, right? Just like the same thing with your consumers, is that they know why they're wanting to sell their house. Like, I try to sell to a want versus a need, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot more fun when you're selling to a want versus somebody needs something from you in the process.
And then what was the book you just referenced?
The Challenger Sale.
The Challenger Sale. Okay. Yep. And then one last question. I know, everybody says that the best CRM is the one that you use, but Michael did ask, do you have a recommendation for CRM system?
I don't get into that game, to be honest with you, Nicole, because a lot of these CRMs, like, I do events with them. So yeah. I never really want to step on people's toes, but I've never heard anybody say that CRM stinks. It really is a matter as a consumer. I will say the simpler, the better. When you're talking about all these bells and these whistles, The exercise that I typically will tell people to do is reach out to 3 to 5 people in your industry that you do know, like, and trust, and ask them what CRMs they're using. And you'll start to hopefully see themes of the top producers who are using those CRMs. So I'm giving you kind of like homework, but I do think that's a great exercise, is just calling on, you know, 5 people who you see are top producers in your market and just asking them what CRMs they're using.
And I would say, I mean, even after you've been in the business and you've hit a level that theoretically the business continues to come in, you're seen as an expert, you're doing the education. I wanted to bring this up only because I typically wouldn't, but it's sitting here staring me in the face because there are calls I have to make as soon as we get off this webinar. I have my Jungo list, which Jungo is a CRM we use. It's a lending CRM on top of Salesforce. But this is my call list for today. And every day I have a call list. So I don't know if you want to continue to be relatable, building your database, having those opportunities, because every conversation is an opportunity. And I can't have opportunities if I don't continue the conversations. But so I just wanted to say that I wish I could just let the phone ring, but it's an active management position I'm taking.
It really is. And like, you know, as somebody who's moved around a lot, you know, I've gone from Michigan to Texas to Tennessee to, you know, obviously to Denver, now back to Texas. But it's funny how, you know, your friends from 15 years ago, they're just kind of in passing because you don't stay as active with them, right? It's the same thing with our database of people. You know, I've seen this happen to where, you know, some friend, like, we all go through seasons of life. Some people are more important at this stage of your life than they will be in the future. And that's completely fine. But when you're not consistently engaging with them and staying in front of them, then a lot of times it is kind of out of sight, out of mind, you know, within the process. So that's why working a selling system is vital in the process. And I'm going to show you here in the next part of this is, you know, how to leverage your marketing tools and systems on to stay relevant. Because, you know, even talking about your selling system, I'm amazed at how many people will reach out to me from high school. And it's like, I just love watching what you're doing. And like, I don't even know that they're seeing me, right? Like, there might be following me on Facebook that I don't even know, but they're just following along because I'm consistently in front of them that way, right? That's the power of social media. It's not to interrupt people's day with ads and stuff like that, in my opinion. It's the people that you are, that already know you, like, you trust you, that want to see what you're doing and stay engaged with you in the process. Because when you really talk about ads, you're kind of interrupting somebody's day. People aren't on Facebook to see some business ad or some ad about whatever it is. You're kind of interrupting their day. What it is meant to be, it's a social platform, right? So that's why being consistent even through social media is important. Like, again, I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Any other questions?
We got them all at this point.
Perfect. This.
You've been listening to The Double Comma Club. Never miss an episode. Subscribe at thedoublecommaclub.com or your favorite podcast venue to hear more success stories. Get free tips on how you can get on the path to becoming a millionaire through real estate at any age. If you enjoyed this, you might also enjoy our YouTube channel. Just look for The Roof Team on YouTube or visit our site, theroofteam.com.